Hallelujah.
Please be seated. So you're sitting on the beach reading your book. I know summer is past, but the good news is we're already 1 week closer to it than we were last week. And as you're sitting on the beach reading your book, out of the corner of your eye, a familiar sight, a seagull. A seagull approaching you. Its halting movements suggest caution, yet hope. Caution because it fears you're going to toss sand or a pebble at it and shoo it away, or worse. But hope that some tasty morsel of human processed food, aka a French fry, will magically materialize. This scene, as far as we know, is an example of the very thing that led to the scene before us today. Humans sitting with their pets in pews. First played out, no doubt, around campfires when Homo sapiens were still in our hunter-gatherer phase. Animals would approach, sometimes, I'm sure, as in the case of wolves, to check out whether humans might be that tasty morsel of food for them. Anyway, wolves and large cats would gather just out of sight, hungrily smelling the meat that was turning on the spit. We knew they were there, and we also realized that our young ones would be kept safer if we occasionally threw them some scraps in their direction. And so the great dance of domestication began to unfold, so the scientists tell us. A dance in which allegiances were forged, and both the human animals and other animals realized that new possibilities, new relationships, and partnerships were possible across species. Our animal friends began to trust us, from their genetic foundation to their emotional lives. Canines and felines adapted to us, and we began to adapt to them, leading to the plethora of breeds we see evidenced here today. And what we see here today is a testimony to what happens when we reach across what might seem an impossible divide, say between a wolf and a nomadic human, once sworn enemies, and allow new dynamics into the relationship. And therein, I would say, we have an analogy to the faith that Jesus teaches us today. After the story of the rich man and Lazarus, we have verses we've skipped over, verses in which Jesus says, it's necessary to always forgive. And the disciples say, well, maybe they cry out is a better way of putting it. Well, increase our faith then. They've clearly seen, or they clearly see, that they've misunderstood the spiritual life. They've set limits on things like forgiveness. Like, I'll forgive you once, but never twice. Or, I'll treat certain people with respect, but only if they're the kind of people I'd want to hang out with and if they respect me. And given what Jesus has just said, they then associate faith with a spirituality of heroic strength. I mean, who can forgive someone who's constantly getting under your skin, who's constantly doing things that are wrong towards you? No one, they think. And indeed, the law, as they understood it, would have agreed with them. And then Jesus does something remarkable. He juxtaposes this tiniest seed they knew. I was going to do this with the kids. I forgot that they were going down right away. These are mustard seeds in here. He juxtaposes this tiny mustard seed with an impossible action, telling a tree to be uprooted and planted in the sea. I mean, what is this? Divine hydroponics? No. Jesus is saying this is about faith, not as cultivated strength, but as something tiny in our hearts and minds that, if opened up, if used, produces an amazing result. Like a drop of dye in a bucket which suffuses all of the water in the bucket. Or that half teaspoon of vanilla that you add to your pancake batter, and now it pops. It tastes different, the whole thing. A small amount can accomplish a lot. Continuing to illustrate, Jesus does something that would have taken their breath away, and actually, when I was looking out as it was being read, maybe it offended some of us. Talk about worthless slaves. He draws their eyes to the social situation they find themselves in. Something that everyone in that world would have seen every day and not really taken any notice of because it was so common. The actions of slaves to keep the economy, to keep that society going, one meal, one act of service at a time. And says, in effect, what society considers worthless, the unspectacular but careful action of preparing a meal, washing the clothes, teaching the children to read, which is what slaves did, keeping an account of the master's expenses, and says, this is what faith is like. The faith that can forgive an unlimited amount of times, that can be applied to an impossible situation. And I know some of you feel like you're in an impossible situation today. Some of you know people that are suffering in ways that you just go, how are they going to get through this? And Jesus says, all we need is that kind of faith in order to see some sort of change. It does what is necessary in the moment. It adapts to what the job calls for, to making a relationship work, if you will. Jesus truly never thought that slaves were worthless, but it's what people thought they were. Actually, by drawing attention to them as analogies of faith, he's subversively humanizing them. But we, it's true, often think our little actions worthless. Especially that phone call. I mean, it's a small thing. That smile, that note we write. That kind act that nobody else sees. That time you resisted your phone and procrastination and painted a picture or wrote a poem. I mean, what amazing good news Jesus' teaching is here for us and for our world. We don't need to be superheroes. We need awareness and small actions in the moment. Faith isn't like building muscles, turns out. Faith is possible when you need it for what you need. It's already present. And after a while, you realize that this is how it works with God. You and God are adapting to one another. Together, you're forging an unexpected partnership and bridging divides not thought possible because God has bridged the divide. What do we believe about Jesus? He's adapted to our humanity. He's become one of us, close to us. Nobody thought, nobody would have thought, that throwing some scraps to wolves would have led to Fido. But eventually it does, and did. The great issues of our day, war, climate change, forgiveness, I mean, they're all impossible, right? They're impossible divides. We're done, it would seem. The powerful will always have their way, we think. Except for this pesky little mustard seed. Resurrection in the form of our smallest intentions and actions. We can't see the future, but what if we believed one thing on a daily basis? That small actions of love and service done in partnership with the incarnate one, with Jesus, could actually change the world eventually. What if that was our one small dare? What if we did that small dare every day? Would it not become the great dare of humanity? Would our small actions not eventually lead to governments changing policy? I don't know. In our first reading, Jesus, or God, seems to think so. And Jesus seems to think so as well in much of the New Testament. And that's where I'll stop, because the animals want me to get on with it. But I'm sure that in their minds, they're barking and meowing and amen right now. Amen.